You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today's topic is authority. Someone with authority has been authorized and empowered to take certain action. Let me give you a couple examples. First of all, a police officer is authorized to stop a person who is speeding and to give him a ticket. Or another example would be with someone like me. For example, a pastor is authorized to announce God's forgiveness to a person who is repentant. That was our topic last week. A person who is repentant has both contrition and faith, sorrow for sin, and trust in Jesus Christ. In today's gospel reading, we encounter Jesus and the topic of authority. First, we're going to see him teaching with authority, and we have to figure out how is that different than other people taught. And then we will come to the topic of Jesus exercising authority over a demon and let us know this is no common, ordinary thing. This is a very extraordinary, a very powerful thing that he does. With both of those things, teaching with authority, casting out the demon with authority, let us be fully convinced that Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God in human flesh. Going back to today's gospel reading, we go back to verse 21 of Mark chapter 1. The Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching." So who are we talking about here? It says that they went into Capernaum. We're talking about Jesus and the four men he has just called to be his disciples. So we're talking about Jesus along with Andrew, Peter, James, and John. So all five of them were together, and then it says he went into the synagogue, so it must be referring to Jesus, and probably the others went along too, but we're not told here for sure. Regarding Capernaum, that's up near the Sea of Galilee in the northern part of the country, and that is a place where Peter had a home, and we also know that Jesus transferred his home from Nazareth to Capernaum early on in his ministry. So this was a place they were very familiar with, both Peter and Jesus, and even the others. It also mentioned about him going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Let's think about that for just a moment. According to the Jewish way of thinking, the Sabbath day began at sunset on Friday, and it ended at sunset on Saturday. So the text said that immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue. So when did he enter? Some people would logically say, well, he entered on Saturday, maybe Saturday morning, but because it talks about him doing so immediately, it's also very possible that right after the sun went down on Friday, he entered right then, immediately upon the beginning of the Sabbath, which again began at sunset on Friday. Doesn't really matter when exactly, but let's understand that it could mean Friday evening. How did the people respond? Going on to verse 22, the Bible says, "And they were astonished." In other words, they were amazed at Jesus' teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. First of all, with them being astonished, Lenski noted that Jesus' hearers were literally dumb with amazement. As long as Jesus spoke, every eye and every ear were fixed on him in rapt attention. There was something much different about him. People were drawn to him. People were locked on him. They were very, very interested in hearing every word he said. Wenski also went on to note that the deity of Jesus revealed itself in all that he said. It also comments there that Jesus' teaching was with authority and not as the scribes. What does that mean? How can we make a distinction between what the scribes did in comparison to what Jesus did? Well, with the scribes, Lenski makes this comment and says that the scribes elevated mere memory over genius and repetitions over originality. You have to think about that a little bit. Imagine what they're saying. Mere memory above genius and repetitions above originality. So when the people gathered to hear the scribes, they probably kind of knew what they were going to say because they kind of always said the same things, nothing original, nothing genius about how they were speaking. But what about Jesus, though? Jesus spoke beyond the literal meaning of Scripture. I want to give you some examples here. So if we go to Matthew chapter 5, early on in the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus touching on a number of different topics in that area. He touches on the topics of murder, adultery, divorce, taking an oath, getting revenge, dealing with enemies. With all those different things, there's a similar pattern to how he is speaking. In other words, the Bible will record where Jesus said to the people, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not murder,' but I say to you," and then he went on to explain more about what that means, "You shall not murder." Or he said to the people, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you." So now he's going beyond the statement in the Bible, and he's explaining the fullness of what that really means. We see him do that with the two commandments. Again, he does it on the topic of divorce, taking an oath, getting revenge, dealing with enemies, and so on. So this was very much how he taught, and the people didn't expect that. He had authority. So he looked at Scripture, it said this, and then he was able to say in an authoritative manner, this is the fullness of what it means. Where the scribes, they didn't teach like that at all. So Jesus' teaching, it was different, and it was with authority. But was that it, though? Was it simply his teaching that was different and with authority, or could he also do actions that were different and were with authority? The answer is yes, as we come to the second part of the sermon. So in verses 23 and 24, we see a challenge from a demon. The Bible says, "And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, 'What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" Think about what we have going on here. Jesus has just taught with authority, and all of a sudden, boy, that demon speaks out of that man, and it must have been quite a shocking thing. What is a demon? A demon is a fallen angel, and the man was not a believer because he did not have the Holy Spirit living within him, so that gave opportunity for the demon to come and live inside of him. And now this demon cries out, and you can imagine probably some kind of a very unusual voice even that the demon used, and the people had to be very startled at what was said. What did the demon say? The demon was expressing much knowledge about Jesus. So he called Jesus by name. He identified who Jesus is, the Holy One of God, and he also said what Jesus came to do, to destroy the works of the devil. The statements that the demon made, all those statements were true, but Jesus didn't want that information to come from a demon. That's no way to go about things. So Jesus wanted people to rather know about him because they were looking at the Old Testament scriptures. They were seeing how his life, in many respects, was fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures. And also, he was demonstrating great power, even the very power of God, in how he was proceeding in his life. Those are the things that Jesus wanted people to know about, the fulfillment, the power, rather than the words of some demon. So how did Jesus respond? Notice in verse 25, it says, "But Jesus rebuked the demon, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And the unclean spirit, convulsing or shaking the man and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him." Jesus didn't want the demon to say what he was saying, so simply he told him, "Be silent," and he was silent. So whatever Jesus says happens, his words have all power. And then the Bible tells us that after the demon attacked his victim one final time, the demon did come out. Did the demon want to come out? I don't think so. He was not happy about it, but he had to obey. He could not resist the authority of the Son of God. Even think about what it says here in Philippians, that when Jesus comes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For those who believe in him, they're going to gladly bow and confess, but there will be vast multitudes who do not believe in him and who do not want to bow down and who do not want to confess, and yet they will, because it will be the Son of God in all his glory. Let's make a quick comparison here. So we might think that this idea of casting out the demon, no big deal. But if you think back to the movie some years ago, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, you probably didn't see it, and I don't encourage you to see it. However, though, the movie is based on the true story of a woman named Annalise McCall, and she was possessed probably with multiple demons. And there were medical doctors and there were priests involved in her life for a period of, I think, 2 or 3 years. And over that period of time, those demons in her were ordered to come out of her 67 different times. And yet they never did. And finally she died. So contrast that with our Lord Jesus Christ. Come out! And he came out. Here are these men who are trying over and over and over again, and yet such a sharp contrast with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. How did the people respond? Picking up in verse 27, the text says, "And they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves." That means they discussed among themselves, even they disputed among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority, and he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So as we go through our lives, at least for me, maybe for you too, we tend to expect the ordinary, but let's know that Jesus is extraordinary in his teaching, in his power, and in every other way that we are aware of, and also in every other way that we are not aware of. The people, they heard the teaching, they saw the power with the demon, and they were so amazed that immediately they went and told other people. God wants us to be that way too. Let's make some comparisons here as I conclude today. Let's know that we are all ordinary, but Jesus is extraordinary. We are all sinners, but Jesus was sinless in our place. We deserve punishment. Punishment now, punishment forever, but Jesus was punished in our place. He took it all for us. We cannot earn heaven. It's impossible. But yet, through Jesus, God offers everyone the gift of heaven. God is so good, even though we are, in many respects, so bad. Let us rejoice in God's great goodness in Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for making it clear to us that you are the very Son of God. We also thank you for doing everything necessary to remove our sins. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would keep us ever contrite and ever trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.